This is the Speaker Scoop, a behind-the-scenes podcast with Washington House Speaker Lori Jenkins. Speaker Jenkins, what's on your mind this week?
You know, we just finished what's called opposite house cutoff. So all the bills that came from the Senate, we had to have moved off of the House floor, or they're not going to be considered for this year. There are exceptions to that, bills that are necessary to implement the budget, bills that bring in state revenue. Those are all bills that we're still considering, but it's a much narrower group of bills right now. But it did make me think about people who work around here often talk about what is the 5 o'clock bill, because cutoff is at 5 o'clock. So you have to have started your final bill by 5 p.m. on the day of cutoff. And then it can take as long as it takes to do it, a few minutes or a really long time. It's always interesting to me because I think that it's true that many times that 5 o'clock bill might represent a certain value set of the majority party, but it's more a bit of lore for those inside the place. It has no special meaning in terms of enactment of the bill, eventual enactment of the bill or not. The first year I was speaker, we passed a cap on the total cost of insulin as a 5 o'clock bill off of the House floor. We've passed the working families tax exemption off of the House floor as a 5 o'clock bill. The Senate sent us, the ban on high capacity magazines. That was a 5 o'clock bill for opposite house cutoff. So certainly some big bills. For me, a lot of how I decide that is if it's going to take us a really long time, that we can have way into the night to debate that. If we start it by 5, so it gives us more time to do more bills off of the floor. There have also been bills that we've passed as 5 o'clock bills that haven't actually been enacted into law. Data privacy is something that we continue to work on, but we, in prior years, that's been a 5 o'clock bill. One of the kind of interesting things I was just thinking about, this is less about 5 o'clock bills, but in 2020, the last bill off of the floor of the House before we adjourned was a bill that we felt very good that we would be able to address COVID with. It was to bring $200 million out of our rainy day fund to cover the costs of COVID. And folks might remember that we were the first state in the country to have a case diagnosed here. We had no idea that would be such a drop in the bucket and that pandemic would be so devastating to us in so many ways. So even the great things we do turn out to be very good that we did them, but sometimes not everything that we need to do. We spent the next number of years completely consumed with how we dealt with this pandemic. So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about that because yesterday for us, we ran our 5 o'clock bill off the floor before noon. Our 5 o'clock bill was funding and some policy relating to special ed in the K-12 system. And we just got through all of the high priority bills that we could move off of the floor early so that the rest of the afternoon was left kind of moving other bills that were good bills but weren't gigantic policy because we got to our 5 o'clock bill easily and we wanted to get it done, make sure we got it done. The other thing that's happening, though, as I'm starting to look forward, is in addition to all those NTIB bills and revenue bills that we've got, we're also now getting what are called concurrences. So when the House passes a bill and then it goes to the Senate and the Senate amends the bill, we still have to get to a final agreement where both houses agree on what's in the bill. So those bills are sent back to the House and we have to decide whether or not we're going to concur with the Senate amendments. Huge number of times we will concur with the Senate amendments. Sometimes we don't concur with them. And then we can take different approaches. We can ask them to recede from their amendments. Then they can recede or not. If they don't recede, they can send it back to us and say, we insist that you adopt our amendments. And we have to decide if we're going to do that. Sometimes bills die in that process of going back and forth just about amendments. The other thing, though, that we can do in that process is we can go to something called a conference committee, in which we send members from all four parties to a conference committee to see if they can reach an agreed-upon resolution. Because as we're sending these bills back and forth, we can't adopt any more amendments in that process. So it's only through a conference that you could adopt new amendments. I'm taping this on a Thursday, and on Saturday we will be here in the House. And right now I'm aware that we have already 90 bills from the Senate that we have to consider for concurrence. The people who usually sit on the conference committees, it's the committee chair that makes recommendations about whether or not we should concur. They brief the caucus on the amendments and make recommendations. But if we can't agree and we end up going to a conference, it's usually the committee chair of where the bill came from and the prime sponsor of the bill. If it's a Senate bill, it might be the committee chair over here that heard the bill. And then if we had a companion or somebody over here who was working a lot on that bill, a member, we would they would likely go on the conference committee. And usually the minority party has their ranking member from the committee that they send, but they can send anybody that they choose. So that's the kind of work that we're going to be doing in the next few days, really technical but necessary for anything to get to the governor's desk. So those are the things that are on my mind 1 week before sine die.
Washington House Speaker Lori Jenkins, we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Jen.